Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Cole.
What up?
Turn the SEC mixtape, man.
You talking about Bonzo Show?
Yeah. See what they talking about real quick on these games.
All right, here we go. 4th and 18 for the Tigers. Here's your ball game. Nick Marshall stands in, steps up, going to throw downfield. Just a home run ball, and it is tipped off. And Lewis got it on the second. Lewis is going to score. Lewis is going to score. Lewis is going to score. Touchdown, Auburn. Touchdown, Auburn. A miracle in Jordan
Hayes. SEC mixtapes. Hosted by Bonzo.
The realest coverage in the spot.
What's up, people? Welcome back to SEC Mixtape. It's on. It's football season for real. We got real-life practice this week. I know we're talking about practice. Allen Iverson will be disappointed. We're talking about practice. But practice is the name of the game. So, so many updates, so much going on, man. So much moving forward, man. Everybody's turning right now. I actually saw real life football. I saw football. We had some preseason football. You know, it's NFL, it's preseason. You know, a lot of people don't care much about it. But you know what? It's football. It's football, man. It's football. And we all love football, man. So let's get right into it. Like I say, man, it's been the first week of practice in the SEC. And evidently, things are developing. Things are developing at a lot of schools. May as well jump on right in, man. Let's get at it. Things are developing at Auburn. Evidently, there was a scrimmage today. There was a scrimmage at Auburn today. And there's been some questions for Mr. Stidham. The scrimmage didn't go as well as everyone expected. It didn't look like his A-Day appearance, to make a long story short. In fact, I'm hearing that not only was Jarrett Stidham outshined by Sean White today, Sean White threw 2 touchdowns, but he also threw 2 picks. But evidently Malik Willis did some beautiful things with the third-string team. The defense reportedly won the scrimmage. I don't know if I want to call it a panic button, to pull a panic button, or for the Auburn fan base, but how do you guys feel about Jarrett Stidham? Jarrett Stidham throwing 2 interceptions, and 1 interception went back for a touchdown by Jamel Dean. What you got, G. Willis?
Panic button. I've been I'm going to kind of not change gears, but I'm going to go back a little bit. Sean White has actually been doing a great job, even before today. The talk has been a lot about how efficient he is and, you know, things he's been doing during the off season, and, you know, he's definitely not giving up his starting position. So maybe he's just feeling the heat, old Jarrett. I mean, I hope that's what it is, because, I mean, we need a dynamic player at quarterback. I shouldn't say we, I'm sorry. Auburn needs a dynamic player at quarterback. So, I mean, this is a must-have.
I'll say this, man. I heard some reports coming out that they put him in some awkward situations. You know, some unnatural situations. I know neither one of the starting running backs were playing. I know his protection. You know, I know his protection wasn't what it would be, you know, with the starting running backs in. But, you know, yet and still, he throws 2 picks and Sean White throws 2 touchdowns.
What unit was Sean White working with?
We're talking about practice. We are talking about practice, so – you know, it is practice, so you can't.
So
I mean, it's practice.
What unit was Sean White working with?
Both guys were working with the first and second unit. Both guys worked with both units. I'll tell you something interesting that's come down, you know, and this is on the other side of the ball. We'll definitely get back to the offensive side of the ball. But Jamel Dean, man, he's evidently upseated Javaris Davis. They think that he's a better option at a cornerback, you know, on the other side of Carlton Davis. So they feel like it's Jamel Dean. And actually, the Davis kid, he's actually playing the star position right now. He's playing a star position, and he supposedly stepped up pretty good today in playing that star position. But it's just, you know, watching him play cornerback and grow as a cornerback, you know, the entire year last year, I mean, you can actually see the growth from the beginning of the season to the end of the season. Knowing that Auburn has a better option, well, they feel like they have a better option at cornerback, I think that's pretty interesting. That's a pretty interesting development, in my opinion.
First scrimmage, things a little premature, but I get where you're going. They got a long way to go, man. I'm watching some of the stuff now as you speak on Twitter is how it's all playing out, and that Dean kid seems to be balling. So I hope the more competition, the better they are. That's the way I see it, and I hope Malik Willis continues to bring the heat. I mean, that's much needed, too. I mean, we need all of these guys to compete. Nobody's job is safe when you're trying to get out of this gutter that we've caused for the past couple of years. So, I wish them all the best, man. This is great competition. Great competition.
Billy Bad, what you got?
Just listening to you fellas, dog. That's about all. Glad to be back on the air. Everything been going.
Yeah, I got suspended for 2 weeks, man. But I'm glad to be back, man. I'm trying to keep down my enthusiasm today, SEC fans. You know, I'm just trying to stick to the base. I'm just kidding, y'all. But yeah, we're gonna try to have fun today, man. Try to bring our perspective to you guys today, man, and we have some off the wall perspectives, so y'all stay tuned.
Man, we do, man. It's definitely more interesting on Auburn's chances, man. The defensive side of the ball, man. You know, I gotta be honest. I gotta be honest, man. This Gus Malzahn, man, is kind of. It's kind of smelling like the Gus Malzahn of last year, man.
Don't say it.
It's kind of smelling like that, man. It kind of smells the same. Same old fish, man. You know, keeping a lot of stuff close to him. Just really not talking about much. Now he talked a lot about the defense. And they were very, very secretive about the offense. He just didn't let a lot go, you know, in the interviews after practice. You could tell he was just trying to keep it close to his chest. And I'll call Gus Malzahn out on this. That confidence that he had at SEC Media Days, I'm not sure exactly what happened in this scrimmage, but some of that got knocked out of it. So, hey, man.
What did you
see?
What exactly did you see?
That could mean a lot of things, man.
Wow.
Just go watch his interview. Watch his interview, you know, at SEC Media Days, man. He really walked up, you know, had his chest stuck out, you know, spoke. Now, the only thing that was consistent is he spoke highly of Malik Willis again. Now, he did do that. He did do that again, but he seemed to be very, very the quarterback situation. He didn't seem to just exude that confidence that he displayed on SEC Media Days. You remember the same thing happened last year. And I refuse to let football fans forget. I've never, as long as Gus Malzahn is coaching, I will never let football fans forget that he and Rhett Lashley agreed on the game plan against Clemson last year when they played 17 quarterbacks.
Wow.
I will never forget that. I don't care if he wins 5 championships in a row. You cannot forget that. I mean, do you guys remember the game plan last year against Clemson? Like two adult men experienced coaches sit down and said that this is the best game plan to go up against a championship contender. Cameron Petway didn't get the ball not one time.
Well,
he played 14 quarterbacks. That's a big deal.
We need to re-release. We need to re-release our show after that game. That was a pretty funny show. I listened to that not too long ago. I know I was going off. I went completely off. I mean, everybody's job that game. That was ridiculous.
I mean, you got to think about that, man. That's for them, honestly.
Cost Alabama.
I think the biggest, even though they played 14 quarterbacks, them not giving Cameron Petway the ball, not one carry. Think about
that. They didn't know who he
was. Cameron Petway has been on Auburn's campus for a long time. He has been on Auburn's campus for a long time. So for them to find out that they have a possible Heisman candidate by mistake, he tripped up over him. Kerryon Johnson got hurt, and they were like, oh, we don't got nobody else. Cameron Petway, go ahead in, Bubba.
I think the thing is they don't know how to coach talent. That's pretty obvious. I mean, Auburn has always – I would say every college team has a lot of talent. Sometimes they don't see. But Auburn, I think, is classic for having all this talent and they can't utilize it correctly. You know, Jason Smith just moved to cornerback or safety because they didn't know how to utilize his talent. He's one of the best athletes that some people have seen, period.
He's a monster. I ain't going to lie. Hey, the kid. He is a ball of athleticism. He is that.
You know, now if they got to move him to safety to get him on the field, yeah, I say, you know, let's see what he can do. But in the same breath, you want to say, guys, you're not winning enough games to not have guys on the field. Somebody has to do something right. So do you blame the kids for that or are you blaming the coach? Now, I've been on the campaign. Now, I haven't got many signatures on it. I need some signatures after this show to get this guy, Gus Malzahn, out of here completely. I mean, this makes no sense, guys. I mean, I know I've been beating this horse to death. I've been beating it down. But, I mean, enough is enough. If Jerry Stidham cannot produce in this first game, if he's the starter, I say he should be fired after the first game of the year.
Let me play devil's advocate. I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, and this is just talking about Gus Malzahn, man. Inconsistency is in my opinion, a sign of youth. And, you know, he's had his youth years as a coach. They're over with and done. So, you know, inconsistency may be considered a trait, but we got to think about this. Inconsistency. Gus Malzahn, I feel like, has done worse with equal talent, with the same talent that he has on the field right now, but he's done better with inferior talent. He's done better with inferior talent. That's interesting, man. It's easily explained.
Easy to explain. The way you explain that is it was a new offense with inferior talent. No, everybody was like, okay, what are they going to do next? Everybody was unbalanced, and it's like that team got better as the season progressed. But I always made examples of how Michael Vick, once you learned how he played, defenses caught up to what he was doing after time. And I think the same thing has happened with Auburn's offense. They have figured it out. Again, another example number two of why he should be gone. If he cannot adjust this complex offense that he's wrote all these books for, then he should be gone. Because if he's not doing anything to make it work. If you have all the – dude, they say Kyle Davis looks like a monster on the field this year. He is jacked.
And he's not even the biggest wide receiver. Marquise McClain. Looked like he should be lined up at defensive end.
And if these guys do not get the touches and not making these marvelous plays that they should be making, get them all gone, man. Fire everybody.
Well, I'll tell you this. I had to let you chew on the bad because I love to hear G. Willis get mad at all. But not a good. Jerry Stidham supposedly completed more deep passes in the scrimmage than Auburn, almost than Auburn completed last year. Okay, so he completed a lot of deep balls. In fact, his deep ball was something that stood out, you know, during the scrimmage. Even the secondary players talked about how, you know, he threw some guys open and, you know, with the deep ball and how he's dangerous. And they also kind of talked about, you know, him not having protection due to they had Devin Barrett playing a lot. Devin Barrett, I think he's only been on campus for a week or so. Maybe he hasn't been on campus for a month. Devin Barrett hasn't. He's a freshman. So they say the protection wasn't up to par. They were glad with some things. But the thing, like I said, the thing that kind of, you know, made my eyes open a little bit was just Gus Malzahn kind of, you know, looking. He had the demeanor. You know that demeanor he has after he loses the game? Like, hey, everything's okay again. We're going to get right back to it. You know, kind of.
Same demeanor he has every game. Yeah, even when they win, they look bad.
Well, we're gonna move on a little bit, man. I want to talk a little bit about Alabama, man. You know, first and foremost, Saban is a – I'm going to say this. I'm going to put some respect on his name. Saban is a recruiting genius. He's a recruiting genius. He did it again, man. Some people – you know, he has that ability to take chicken shit and turn it into chicken salad. It's a great talent.
Now say that again. Say that one more time.
He has the canny ability to turn chicken shit into chicken salad.
Okay, I thought I heard you right. Okay, good job. Good job.
He does it, man. This Deshaun
you know what?
Incident. The Deshaun Hand incident is what I'm talking about. This kid goes out,
I'm with you.
You know, and he supposedly gets a DUI. Okay. Saban doesn't say anything. Saban just says,
not a word.
We need to get information. We need to get information. Saban gets the information that he needs, and Saban says, I don't give a damn what Paul Feinbaum says. I don't give a damn what ESPN says. This my boy. I told his mom and dad I was going to take care of him. They put him under my care. I'm not suspending him for a game and messing up his NFL career because some cop decided to flex his muscles and put this kid in the situation. So I'm not condoning what he done. I'm not condoning
What were the facts you got about that arrest, Mondo?
That he was in a car, asleep, not in the driver's seat, parked.
Right.
Drunk.
Now, are you driving? What's the DUI stand for? Driving under the influence.
He wasn't even in the driver's seat. I mean, Saban, once again, Saban sticks his neck out. Saban says, I'll take the beating for this kid. You got something bad to say about this kid, say about me. I'm going to let it play.
And you know what?
Recruits love that, man.
And Feinbaum put out a public apology to him yesterday morning, this morning. It was this morning.
Brilliant.
Here's what did nobody talk about, though. College athletes have a curfew. Nobody said, you know, you always hear about athletes violating curfew rules and they get in trouble for that. Nobody mentioned anything about that.
Well,
yeah, good.
I gotta be honest, Billy. I gotta give you my typical Bonzo answer. And I was never a 5-star athlete, but man, curfews are meant to be broken. Curfews, man.
You always hear Tony Brown was sent home from the bowl game because he was 30 minutes late for curfew. You hear these kids getting, you know, sent home or being suspended for two games or can't practice a week because of curfew. But this kid was 3 in the morning sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just throw away the DUI or whatever.
Mm-hmm. But man,
it's kind of
hard
to go ahead.
You know, me being a normal human being, like, I am so normal. I am so normal, man. I got in trouble when I was young. I did stupid stuff in college. Man, hell, I still do stupid stuff now, man. You know, it's just hard for me.
Yeah, I agree.
It's hard for me to you know, to critique a kid for not being perfect, man. It's so hard for me to, you know, these kids are under a lot of pressure, in my opinion, man. They're under a lot of pressure. You know, everyone's asking them to live perfect. You know, all these girls are after them, you know, and 90% of these girls don't have anything good for them at all. You know, so it's easier said than done. I always like to compare. When I talk about young athletes, I always like to use Jamarcus Russell as an example, man. You know, Jamarcus Russell, we all know the story. But I honestly don't know many guys who are 22 years old who has $30 million in the bank, who's going to sit in the sun. They got $30 million in the bank. It's yours. If you don't ever fart again, that $30 million belongs to you. I just don't know too many people who will stand in the sun and let a coach yell at them and tell them how hard to practice. I'm just saying, I'm normal. If I got $30 million in the bank, I'm 22 years old, I'm in L.A., my Macintosh ass about to show out. I ain't even going to lie. That's real. How many of your homies at the age of 22 do y'all think can handle $30 million? Seriously.
You know, that never happened since I'm way past 22,
21. Hey, Bonzo.
Yeah.
Hey, G, I'm going to agree with Bonzo on that. I've seen him with an extra 20 in his pocket, so I know what he'll do with that 30 minutes.
I'm going to show out. I'm going to show out, man. I'm telling you, man, it trips me out when I hear people, you know, talking about Jamarcus Russell like, oh, man, he was a bust. He was, man, that dude, they gave this dude a $30 million check. And then told him to go in the sun and practice football.
How much you got left? How much is left?
He's still doing
well.
He's got some money. Yeah, he's doing real well.
I think he's still doing well. Yeah, he's doing real well.
You got the haters around Mobile say they, you know, he's still doing it. He said, hey, you know, if
he
spent $3 million doing what he was doing, going back and forth to Mobile, $3 million in Mobile go a long way. Trust me.
He won. Jamarcus Russell is a winner in my book. He won. Jamarcus Russell won. He won. He got $30 million.
Is he selling cars now or anything like that?
Woo.
No, he ain't selling no cars.
Man, he's an entrepreneur,
yeah,
man. The cat's pretty smart. He was just young at the time.
Yeah.
Young, man. Young.
I'm not mad.
I'll tell you what, G. I'm gonna ask you this. Here we go, because I know what age you guys are. You got $30 million in the bank, and Freak Neek is going on in Atlanta? You
yeah,
got
yeah.
$30 million.
You got my attention. You got my attention.
You see? That's a lot of pressure. Man, I got $30 million, a Lamborghini, and every woman in this city.
I can't stop smiling right now.
Goodness.
And I'm 42.
You ain't going to kick one wheel? You not going to kick one wheel in that Lambo? So you telling me you're going to get in that Lambo and not kick one wheel?
Hey, G, you smiling because you know what you're doing already, though.
Exactly.
Hey, I know what I did in Freak Nick. I went to Freak Nick with $10 in a dream. I did that with $10 and had them all.
$30 million, G? $30 million? I can hear the story now. Man, I can hear the story now. That G West, he went to the NFL. He ain't do shit, man. He ain't never go to practice. He wouldn't come to work on time, man.
But
every
you remember Freak Nick 93.
Yeah, really.
You know, man, and that's, but But that's the type of pressure, man. Think about, man, these young men are, I mean, they are literally superstars. They're superstars, man. And you have to tell them to behave themselves. Behave yourself. And we all look back. We all look at this and go, yeah, he messed up. I can't believe he did that. I can. I can believe he did it. I really can.
What?
But we're on Alabama. Hey, exactly. A space shuttle. We got to do it. Got to do it. Like, people be like, why is he buying that? Why is he buying that motorcycle? Because it's $30 million. How you going to tell him no? Oh, man. You got to get better friends. You got to go get better friends. You got to get friends who care something about you. Let me tell you something. At 22 years old, if one of my homeboys got $30 million, we finna kick it!
Man. I'm still smiling about me having $30 million going to Freaknik, man. You changed my whole life this evening. I can't stop thinking about it.
Well, man,
move
on a little bit, man.
I got a quick question for you guys. Since we were talking about Alabama and the amount of money you get to go to the pros, in your opinion, mm-hmm. Billy, I'll give you this question first. Why did Saban not make it in the NFL?
Because his demeanor doesn't jive well with grown-ups that make more money than he does.
You know what?
Okay.
Those coaches are long gone. The Tom Capels, the Bill Parcells, those guys is over with.
Belichick?
He got an old team.
He got an old team, and he get veterans in that want to win Super Bowls that agree to go along with the process.
I think, and you know what? A lot of people are going to kill me for this. A lot of people are going to be pissed off, but I don't care. This is just what I feel. I feel like the Nick Saban aura that he has right now, he didn't have that aura when he left LSU. He didn't have that aura. So
he
was a big time, but he didn't have this aura. Nick Saban is doing something that's never been done.
Oh no! I mean, as you win more, that's what
you get. Yeah,
exactly.
I get what you're saying. I think,
but the same Colin Coates, go back and look at
now. Mm-hmm.
Go back and look at LSU games. It's the same pouting coach that walked with his arms crossed and did all that. He's the same demeanor. He just, with winning comes that, you know?
No doubt.
Well, let me ask you this, Bonzo.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's because, which I've heard before, I've mentioned on this show before, he's not the best when it comes to actually coaching the game?
Let me give an example of what I mean by
coaching. X's and O's.
Okay.
I'm talking X's and O's. I'm not talking about management, you know, which is what a college coach does. But sometimes NFL coaches just need to be good field managers, meaning X's and O's. So go ahead and answer that.
Go ahead, Billy.
He gets beat at coaching with equal talent or a little bit less than equal talent. Case being, Hugh Freeze beat him twice, 2 years, with that class that he had, that 2013 class that came in, that was just, I think they was ranked number 3 in that class, and Alabama was number 1. Alabama still had more talent because of the previous years of recruiting, but Hugh Freeze, I coached him. This year, in the championship game, the game could have went anyway, but out-coached. I mean, Damian Harris had some good runs too. Why not keep running the ball? They kept trying to throw the ball, kept trying to do that little read option with the quarterback. Out-coached. That's all there was to it. And I'm sorry.
I'm going to call a timeout. Now, Billy, now you just got turned, man. And look, I'm going to need you to calm down because I'm going to tell you something. Every time Saban has lost, every time he's lost, it's been some quarterback who just played the game of his life.
He still got out.
Every single time. Every single time that.
Hey, you know how to keep that quarterback off the
field? In fact, I can tell you this.
You know how to keep that quarterback on the sideline?
I'm just telling you, think about it. Chad Kelly. Amazing passer. Johnny Manziel. Amazing passer. Nick Marshall. Like his hell was on fire, played the game of his life. I'm saying he beat him. Nick Marshall.
Oh,
okay.
He passed for
Nick Marshall went nuts that game. Exactly. Nick Marshall went bananas.
He said 40 yards.
He did, though.
400.
Go back and look at it.
He said 440.
He passed for like.
Almost?
He passed like 440 yards. He went nuts.
Yeah, pull it up.
Yeah, I'm serious.
I believe
he went. Absolutely bonkers, man. And yet and still, with those quarterbacks playing the games of their life, Bama was still in the game all the way to the end, chomping on their ass. So,
but I'm gonna tell you,
I mean,
this,
so there's
though,
never
if you go back. If you go back and look at the game, when
mm-hmm.
Bo Scarborough goes out, they don't run the ball no more. They keep trying to pass the ball. They got other running backs that can run the ball. I promise you.
The fact that the casual football fan, not a real life football fan, but just a casual football fan, can tell you every game that Alabama has lost since 2008 debunks that fact. It depends.
You know what?
The average football fan.
I can't think of any game that they've lost that the quarterback did not play astronomically. I just out of the. I mean, look at Johnny Football. I mean, the guy did some streetball stuff against Alabama.
He was amazing. Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
The dude was he was running through people's arms like they was grabbing him, and he was like, whoop,
hey,
touchdown,
balling on the 5-yard line, picking up the ball.
Exactly. Exactly that. That was insane, man. And think about Deshaun Watson last year. Man, they almost killed Deshaun Watson. Whenever they made him go in the helicopter, I was like, all right, it's over. No, get up.
Yep, I said the same thing.
I guess he went to the sideline, snorted some cocaine. Hey, man, he had to be on. Like,
Whoa. Don't make the man a cocaine addict. Come on now. Whoa.
Hey, look.
Time out.
He was just amazing. What he was doing in that game, man, was absolutely amazing. Like, he was. You could have shot him in the head that night. Nick Saban could have bought a gun on the field, shot Deshaun Watson in the forehead. I believe he would have got up and threw a touchdown. I believe.
This is the fake news tonight, guys. This is a fake podcast. This isn't real. This is fake.
Man, y'all got to go back and watch the game, man. I mean, they were killing him. They were killing the kid. I mean, they were absolutely killing him. And he was just sitting back there like, oh, I don't even care. I ain't got no feelings today. I'm going to throw this touchdown. Man. But, man, I don't know. I don't know, Billy. I respect Saban. I ain't going to lie. I got the
– Well, I get both points. I've also agreed with Billy before from what his perspective is, and I agree completely. And I do get what Bonzo's saying, but, you know, it's going to take a dual-threat quarterback, which I've always said on the show, to beat Alabama.
Yes.
You cannot just – be one-dimensional. You have to be able to run the ball effectively, but pass first.
And throw it.
If you can pass over Alabama, you can beat them.
Wait, but not just pass.
I said both. You got to spread the field.
You
got to be able to do it all.
You got to be throwing the ball on the money. You got to be putting it there, folks. Because I'm going to tell you something. Everybody talked about Bama secondary in that Clemson game. I have went back and watched that game 7 times. It wasn't because Bama's secondary was out of position. It was because these Clemson Grizzly Bears they had playing for wide receiver was just making amazing damn catches. And that they played the game of their lives. And that is the common theme of beating Bama. Played the game of their lives. Except when Ohio State got a hope to him that year. I don't know what the hell happened then. I forgot about that.
So when Oklahoma game, that's the only game I could think of. Was that a quarterback-driven game?
Oklahoma game. That was before 2008. It wasn't.
What year was that?
No, it was not. That was 2010. You're right. You're right. The Oklahoma game, but the quarterback played lights out. But that in that Ohio State game, I forgot about that. That guy did. He played lights
Ohio
out.
Ohio State was quarterback. He was all over the place.
He's in the NFL right now due to that game. He's in the NFL now due to that game. But
I agree.
Have you heard from him since?
He's still getting paid.
Now,
didn't even start the next year.
Have you heard of him?
Didn't even start.
He was the third. He was the third quarterback. Yeah, but that's the common theme. Amazing quarterback play. And that's what it takes to beat Bama. And, you know, on that notion, there's only a few quarterbacks in the SEC right now that I would say are capable of amazing quarterback play, of absolutely going monkey doo doo in a game, and one of those guys plays for Bama.
Tua.
One of them plays. Jalen Hurts.
Oh, I forgot he was quarterback.
Jalen Hurts
was quarterback. I'm sorry. Thought Tua had his job already.
Hey, you said that. Go Jalen, time to start some shit.
Hey, did you notice, Billy, he did not get a red shirt this year? Well,
I don't know
Billy passed out at the bar somewhere. But anyway,
Fonzo,
he did not get a red shirt.
Know
I mean,
why.
That's, hey, man,
I'm
gotta have some
sure
kind of news talking about this
shirt.
Year. What's your opinion on that? Who, Tua?
Who, Tom?
Who's transferring?
I think Tua's going to transfer. He might not transfer.
I just don't see
that.
This would be – how many more years would Jalen have? Two more after this one?
Jalen Hurts is going to play 4 years. Unless – this is my feeling. I don't think Jalen Hurts leaves the year early. Because I don't think
his
style transfers over to the NFL. I don't think his style transfers over to the NFL as good as – you know, the dual threat style. So, if he continues to win games, and Jalen Hurts is a baller, man. I don't care what nobody say. The kid is a baller. He gave Bama the lead in that national championship game, and the defense could not close it out. Jalen Hurts did not lose that game. That was the defense not being able to stop or possess Deshaun Watson. Just that simple. The end of story. That's it. Jalen Hurts is not your problem, Bama. Hurts is not your problem. Only thing he did last year was accounted for something like 37 touchdowns. He threw 23, and I think he ran another 14 or something. So the notion that Jalen Hurts is the problem or something's wrong with him, I'm not having that. I just can't. I can't listen to that. And with him playing at least two more years, and Todd supposedly having this super talent that everyone's talking about, at some point the conversation is going to have to come up. So, Todd, what you want to do?
Well, you know what? I look at guys like I'm trying to remember his name now. He hadn't been gone for 2 years, quarterback at Alabama. He's a former running back. He was a great quarterback. I mean, they didn't win, but just watching how he played above where he was supposed to be, I thought the kid played phenomenal. You know, and I'm just
talking
I kind
of the
compared them.
Over, Jacob Coker, the one who won the starting job over Jacob Coker. Whoa, was that,
right?
Man?
Well,
I know exactly
Vince
what you're talking about, man. He was a baller. Billy.
I like the kid, man. He's a nice kid. I mean, and he was a running back. He came to Alabama as a running back, and I mean, he just played to me lights out. I mean, because you didn't expect him to do that. You never expected
him
to
do
that.
That's right, man.
Him beating Jacob Coker out, man, was something too.
But man, I'll tell you, man. I think, honestly, Man, this is going to be a good year, man. SEC is about to reclaim it. And that's a story that I didn't really get at. But man, Auburn's defense is per Rodney. I can't even say what Rodney Garner said about the defensive line on radio. My phone might melt, or my mama might come over here and whoop me. But
wow.
Rodney Garner is talking about effing somebody up. You know, it's about the this. he believes in this defensive line, man. This defensive line has taken his personality, and he ain't playing. So I think Auburn can be dangerous, man. Auburn can be very, very, very dangerous. Is this the year that Auburn finally puts it together? Is this the year?
Just not if the defense is on the field all day.
He hasn't had a good offense and a good defense at the same time.
He hasn't had a good offense and
good defense at the same time. Now, he's either had one or the other. He's had one or the other. You know, the year that 2010, that's when they had the offense out of this world. 2011,
okay.
Auburn's offense had a bigger production than the offense in 2010. Go ahead.
Okay. That was a good point you just made. Let me ask you this. Is Auburn's defense good enough to carry them with a okay offense? If the offense can give you 14 points a game, can Auburn win out?
Well, I'll tell you this. Auburn does have that quality of a defense this year where they can win games with both teams scoring under 21 points.
So they have a Alabama-type offense. Defense. They have an all Alabama-type defense this year.
I will not say an Alabama-type defense. I will not put that on anybody. We all – don't forget, Alabama had a guy on the defensive line last year who could fly. I mean, literally, the dude had wings, for real. We all saw it happen. He flew 5 yards and hit somebody quarterback in the mouth.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
So, man, you know, I can't give them that lofty expectation, but I'll say this. This will explain just how well Gus Malzahn has recruited. Auburn is replacing Montrevious Adams and Carl Lawson, two of their best defensive linemen in the last decade, and their defensive line is actually better this year. So, you know, that's a big deal, man.
Any word on Coward so far during camp?
Yes, man. Yes, everyone feels great about Coward's move to defensive tackle. Everybody feels like they feel like it suits him. In fact, Rodney Garner is actually pissed off that he didn't make the move early. He's pissed off at himself that he didn't make the move earlier. But Coward is—he's a fast guy. Well, he's faster than your average defensive tackle. He's a lot faster than your average defensive tackle. But he's big like a defensive tackle, man. So look for there'll be times when you see Auburn line up Marlon Davis, Byron Coward, Derek Brown, and who's the last kid? Paul James. So at that time, Auburn would be on the line with 2 5-stars and a 4-star. Auburn's able to replace them with another 5-star and 2 more 4-stars. So, you know, these are, man, they've recruited well, man. Rodney Garner has really, he's been a staple on that defense. He's been recruiting well. And I can't forget about the linebackers, man. Trey Williams, 5-star. Trey Williams, he was a 5-star player. Trey Williams was a 5-star, man. Trey Williams was a high 5-star, too. I think he was the best linebacker in the country. And
I just remember him being a 5. I still want to say 4, but I go along with you for now. You know, I get you on deck tomorrow. I agree with you, man. The guy was awesome. Coming out of Mobile, right?
Yeah, yeah. Trey Williams came out of Mobile, man. Auburn is loaded, man. Auburn is loaded on the defense.
Hey, I'm not gonna do it, man.
But I want to talk a little bit about Jamel Dean. Jamel Dean, man, is Ohio State. He initially committed to Ohio State. He went to Ohio State, and Ohio State wouldn't clear him medically. They wouldn't clear him medically for some reason. They thought he would never be able to play football. He comes to Auburn. Auburn clears him medically. He has to sit 1 year while his knee injury heals. He begins to play last year. He injures the other knee. Okay, but before he injured that knee, you heard a lot of people talking about that Jamel was the man. Like he may be the best cornerback on the roster. And that was even with Carlton Davis there. So this year he's finally healthy, and they're tough. They really believe in him. They have a lot of faith in his cat. Like I say, he took Davis's spot. He took his spot, man. The Bobby Shmurda looking cat, man. He took his spot, and that cat was balling last year. He was balling. He had a great year last year. So. Man, is that what happened?
The Bobby Shmurda looking dude. I know exactly what you're talking about. That's hilarious that you
remember
that.
Yeah, he looks just like Bobby Shmurda, man. He does.
He
does look like Bobby Shmurda, man. But, you know, I mean, he had a hell of a year last year, and Jamel Dean is came in and taking his spot. He had a pick six in the scrimmage today. He had a pick six, and I think he had another pick. But they've been talking about him they've been talking about him real good. I'll tell you some newcomers coming in, man, that people aren't talking much about. Well, people forgot about, and I think it's by design. It's this Gus Malzahn, Sal Canelli, the tight end.
You big on him?
He's been lining
up. I'm
going to
say
slot.
That to y'all. In the slot. Oh wow. Okay, go ahead.
He's been lining up in the slot, man. He's been lining up in the slot. Let's see. It's Billy back. Get Billy back on. Billy, are you here? Billy, are you with me?
Okay.
Yeah, Billy back on. He's back. But, man, Sal Canelli, they've been doing a lot with him. I want to switch to Bama for a little while because some interesting things are developing over there, man. But one thing. I know people are tired of hearing about it, man, but I want to talk about Florida State, Alabama. Florida State, Alabama, man, I think, man, is there a better way? Can you think of a better game, Jersey, to start the season with?
No.
Seriously.
No. The only way I think you can top it is maybe Alabama, Ohio State. Because of the draw you get from the entire nation. But I'm with you. I want to see the Florida State game. I think that's my more important game than that. I mean, it's going to be phenomenal. I mean, with the way these two guys recruit, I mean, you can't really match the talent on the field that you would see. It's just going to be all about who's got the better game plan. You know,
Who's
got the best quarterback play this game? Who's got the best quarterback play this game? Give it to me.
Both of these guys are money, man. I think Francois throws the better ball, but man, Jalen Hurts is just so damn tough, man. He's tough, but Francois is tough too. Francois may be the most durable quarterback in college football. That kid got smacked around they hit him so much last year, it was ridiculous, and he got up and continued to throw touchdowns. He did it. But Jalen Hurts?
Yep.
Jalen Hurts, man, Mr. I'll throw an interception and then run a touchdown down your throat. What you going to do? Yeah, I threw an interception, but I forgot about it. In this next series, I'm going to drive down and score. Now what? The boy cold. He cold-blooded.
You know what?
He is cold-blooded.
That Thursday we have our live show from downtown Birmingham. That's not the Thursday before the game, is it?
Yes.
You know what? I'm going to invite all of my Florida State fans down for that live podcast we do, a blog talk. And I know, too, we're going to have Coach Boyd there. And it's another cat who actually comes to the barbershop that day, Courtney. And I'll brief him on that later. I want to invite all my Florida State guys in to come in, and we're going to have a somewhat of a little, you know, it's going to be fun. It's going to be real fun. I'm excited. I'm more excited now than I was before. Yeah. We got Bobby Steels on the ones and twos that day. DJ Bobby Steels will be there. He's famous back in the Auburn A&M days. Y'all know him when you see him. It should be fun. It should be fun.
Well, man, I'm looking at, you know, Derwin James, Mekhi, man. It's just ballers. It's going to be a good game, man. It's going to be a great game. I'll tell you, the thing I'm interested, if Jerry Jeudy, man, I wonder if they take that risk and actually play him a lot in that game, because I just really can't think of, man, that's no game for a freshman. That is no game for a freshman to be, you know, handling the ball. I just wonder. I'm interested to see Nick Saban's approach, you know, to playing this type team, you know, right out of the gate, man. I'm interested to see his approach. He has all these freshmen. You know, he has Najee Harris. You know, he's played some ball. He's played some ball, but played big time ball in California. But he ain't played no SEC Florida State ball. He ain't played. I can't hear myself think ball.
I don't think he'll see the field.
Derwin James coming from the safety position, running 90 miles per hour, and hitting me in my lips ball.
Cam Akers, Najee Harris won't see. They'll see the field from the sideline, both of them.
You think? Well,
they won't see the game.
You know what, man? I'll be honest. That would not shock me, man, because I just don't think that's the game you want to break a freshman in. I don't.
Nah. Too many guys ahead of him, for one. That's the main thing. Way too many guys ahead of him.
Way too many experienced guys who played some big-time games.
I was looking at a depth chart for Florida State. Florida State has some running backs on their roster. They have quite a bit. Matter of fact, Cam Akers was, from what I saw, was listed at least third or fourth string. And that's impressive. That's very impressive, to say the least, for Florida State, with the kind of caliber running back that we know that Cam Akers is by watching his tapes. And that's very impressive. Well, everybody knows that about him.
I think not
that big of a deal.
I think you're right. I think you're on to something, G. I really do. You know, I don't think that Saban nor Jimbo Fisher put a lot of confidence in freshmen that particular game. I mean, it's going to be – I mean, that is the game. Like, that is the game. Anything that's going on – if you want to rob somebody in the state of Alabama, if you want anything, if you want to take anything from my side, I shouldn't be giving you criminals any hints. But doing that Alabama game, Alabama-Florida State game, I mean, every football fan is going to be glued to the TV. Every last football fan is going to be, I don't care if you yell War Eagle, I don't care what you yell. That game right there is going to have the eyes locked, man, and it's going to be a big deal. It's going to be a big deal. And I'll tell you something else, too, man. Me and G Willis talk about this all the time. Birmingham is the best city for college football. Now what? It is. It is. Yep. The SEC office is right downtown. You know, it's centrally located. You can go to football games anywhere in the state, big-time high school football. It's just a great environment for SEC football. And I'm going to tell y'all something. If Bama beats Florida State and the next week Auburn beats Clemson, it's going to be one of the years where the state is always consumed with football, don't get me wrong. That's what we do. That's what we do in Alabama. We watch college football. That's what we do, and we're proud of it. But if Bama beats Florida State and Auburn beats Clemson, this state going to be crazy, man. It's going to be great for the show.
It's going to be more to it than that
it's
for
gonna
me.
Be so great for the show. I can't wait.
I will be trashing
be
the ACC
for
the rest of the year. I trash ACC all year if that happens. Coach Boyd and anybody else has got something, just come on the show. I got something for you. As much as I hate Alabama, I think
this.
I will pull up Alabama.
I also say this, man. If Bama loses and Auburn loses, it's gonna be a it's gonna be a lot of Iron Bowl stuff on sale. It's gonna be a lot of Iron Bowl stuff on sale, and somebody gonna be pissed off. Like we'll just be waiting for the Iron Bowl. Seriously, if that happens, if the ACC, because I tell you, if that happens, people are just gonna cry wolf and say the ACC is the best conference in college football. They proved it 3 years in a row. They're proving. You know what else does anybody have to say? So not only is Alabama and Auburn representing Alabama and Auburn, but this is a SEC thing, man. It's an SEC thing. So you may hate Alabama if you're an Auburn fan. You may hate Auburn if you're an Alabama fan. And I understand that. I do. But, man, this conference has been the best in college football for a long time. And I ain't ready to see them lose that grip. I ain't ready for that, G.
It's not going to happen.
I ain't ready for ACC. I ain't ready. I do have the rights, and I purchased ACC mixtape if anybody's interested in getting in touch with me and doing something about that. However, you know, I got it's SEC mixtape. I'm not ready to pull out ACC mixtape yet. SEC mixtape, you know, SEC is the best conference in college football. They have been that way. So now people are saying, no, SEC isn't the best conference in college football. They just have the best team in college football. And by Auburn and Alabama winning those first 2 weeks, man, it'll be a big deal. And let's don't forget, man, LSU's they're playing out of conference their first game. They're playing, I think they're playing BYU. And I tell you, man, Matt Canada, I don't know, his offense is potent. I'll say this, LSU has never had an offensive coordinator quite like Matt Canada. He put up 44 points in a victory against Clemson last year. We all saw that Clemson defense. That Clemson defensive line was absolutely ferocious. Matt Canada, with inferior talent, scored when he wanted to score against Clemson. Same thing against Penn State. People keep forgetting. You know, Matt Canada, last year he beat two top five teams. The offense that he ran, they beat Clemson and they beat Penn State. They scored at will. Their defense just showed up. The offense has scored at will. And I can tell you with full confidence, he did not have the horses at Pittsburgh that he has at LSU. Not even close.
He had a good running back. He had a good running back. And
a
decent quarterback.
He has Geis.
Yeah,
he has Geis now.
He got drafted, man. The guy got drafted, didn't he?
He got drafted. You don't think Geis is going to get drafted?
Yeah. I would say he would be.
Geis, man.
You know what? I think we're sleeping on a couple of teams. I really think Georgia's going to be a lot better than they were last year.
Yes,
man.
It's good.
I mean,
but
that running back combination.
We got 90 seconds, man. G. Willis, let him have it.
Hey, man, good to be back, man, off suspension, man. It's a lot of good teams out there, man. Everybody's excited about SEC coming back. Everybody's team is number one right now because the season hasn't started yet. So go whatever team you pull for and go SEC.
Hey, man, I love it. I'm just excited about the football season. Things are happening. New things are developing. Players are committing. Man, people about to start getting hit in the mouth. You know, it's sad that I can't wait to see Arkansas play FAMU, first SEC game of the year. So that's it, guys. We out. We'll see y'all on Wednesday. That's our time.